Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. This is the kickoff of the first ever Sounds of Christmas podcast countdown. For the next 10 days, I'll be reposting previous episodes, the top 10 most listened to and most downloaded. So yes, it's a rerun. In fact, it's technically the first of 10 days of reruns, all leading up to the new season of the Sounds of Christmas station on November 1st and two brand new podcast episodes here. But I wanted to make sure that all that was clear up front. You may have already listened to this episode, and I'm not really adding anything new to it. So if you don't want to hear it again, you should stop listening now. Still here? Well, I tried.
Here we go, number 10.
10. 10. 10. 10. 10. Number 10.
The 10th most listened to and most downloaded episode of the Sounds of Christmas podcast was released on July 10th, 2022. It was the kickoff for a different event, which I called Christmas in July Podcast Palooza. The event was highlighting hosts of other Christmas podcasts and finding out what their podcasts were all about. This one featured Jerry D from Totally Rad Christmas, Scott from the Holly Jolly Xmasu podcast, and Sean from the Christmas Podcasts podcast. And here is most of that podcast. I wanted to do something special for Christmas in July this year, but everything that I could think of was something that I had already done in a previous episode, or at least done something similar, or it's been done by another Christmas podcast. Then it came to me that maybe the thing to do would be to introduce you to a bunch of other Christmas podcast hosts and see what it is that made them get into doing Christmas podcasts, whatever particular niche that they were in. Now, I connect with several other Christmas podcasters from time to time, sometimes almost daily. And in the year and a half that the Sounds of Christmas podcast has been chugging along, I've found the Christmas podcast community to be a welcoming and fun place. Sharing my love for Christmas and Christmas music with so many who also love Christmas and some particular thing or things about the season that has led them to host a podcast about it. So what I'm going to try and do for the month of July is highlight as many of these as I can. And since you're listening now, there's a good chance you'll want to give them a try and enjoy a little more Christmas spirit. Today, I'm joined by Jerry, Scott, and Sean, and I want them to introduce themselves and their podcasts. So, Jerry, why don't you start?
Hi, I'm Jerry D. I'm the host of the Totally Rad Christmas podcast. It's a podcast all about Christmas in the 80s, where we talk movies, specials, books, TV shows, comics, food. We even talked about fashion, as long as it even has anything remotely to do with Christmas in the 1980s. And I do stretch it a little bit from 77 to 93, like 3 years either way, as just kind of give and take there. But I'll talk about it on the show. And this year we're starting to get more, I don't want to say celebrities, because they're not super, super duper famous, but we're starting to get more people that have experience in the business and that are involved in some of these projects on the show as well. And so it's been a lot of fun. But yeah, we'll cover anything in the 80s because that's when I grew up. And that's, to me, that's, you know, it feels like when I was most excited for Christmas. So if I can bring back any kind of nostalgia to anybody that was young at that time, then that's a win for me.
Scott, how about you?
My name is Scott Leopold. I'm the host of the Holly Jolly Xmasu podcast. It's a podcast all about Japanese Christmas music. Each episode, I take an album or a group of songs from my own personal collection, and I play the music. I talk about the artists, any background about the album or the songs. And it's just a way for me to try to you know, get some exposure to this music that I kind of stumbled on. And I just got to be, you know, really passionate collector about it. And I thought it would be a fun idea to, you know, start up a podcast to share it with everyone.
And Sean?
I'm Sean Sotka. I'm the host of the Christmas Podcast podcast. Basically, I hype all you guys up is what I really do. We have a bunch of Christmas podcasts on our website, christmaspodcast.com. And when you guys drop episodes, I put them out on our website, direct them back to you, just to try to get more, you guys, more reach out there for Christmas lovers and expose everybody to the Christmas. And so I just love Christmas podcasts. So we just started it up, and yeah, I'm basically your guys' hype guys. You guys come out with episodes. I put them out, tweet them out, put them on Instagram and Facebook and say, hey guys, listen to these episodes. And every one of you guys, everybody's had an episode I absolutely love. So, and a lot of them pretty recently too. And Scott's such a niche. I love his because of all the Japanese that I've never heard. And that's just great. And like Jerry, he's got the '80s. That's when I was starting to get into my teens and really loving too. And then obviously Ken with you, I'm a music lover. My dad was a musician. So your Sounds of Christmas is right up my alley with all this. So that's what I do, is hype you guys up just like I did.
Sean, how long have you been doing this?
I've been doing this for a couple of years. Basically once the lockdowns from COVID hit, I started up, I was talking with Jeff Westover of My Merry Christmas, and we were chatting and stuff. And he's like, well, how many podcasts do you listen to? And at that time I had about, a good 6, 7, 8 of them that I listened to. And I think Jerry was one of them at the time, because he was one of the first ones on. And Tis the Podcast was another one. And Tim Babb's Can't Wait for Christmas. So those were like one of the first ones we had on our website that Jeff and I talked about. So he says, well, why don't we, and I've been telling Jeff that I've been wanting to do a podcast. It's just, with all the researching and stuff and me being busy, I didn't know where to begin. And this was just an easy way, because my research is easy. You guys drop the episodes, I just take your information and relay it back out there. So, and I love Christmas podcasts. It's just something, it's a way to get Christmas that's different. You get other people's aspects and insights and their opinions on them. And I'm of the one that I like hearing different opinions about things that I love, even if they don't like them like I do. But I respect that they have the opinion, and to hear why, it gives me a broader liking of the Christmas stuff. And then, of course, with Jerry, with his, you name it, if it's Christmas, I'll do it. He's almost like Todd Killian. But if it's got even a bit of mistletoe in the thing, he's going to make it Christmas. So, I mean, we're even talking about making Dune Christmas, right, Jerry?
We were, yeah. But it's mostly just an excuse to mash together my two favorite things, which are the 80s and Christmas. So sometimes I do really stretch the definition of what counts as Christmas. But most of the time, I'm pretty well in the pocket, I think.
Yeah, and that's what I love. And that's why I got into trying to hype you guys up. Because as the COVID and the lockdowns hit, there was just an explosion of Christmas podcasts. I mean, podcasts were big anyway, but there was just an explosion of Christmas podcasts. And mm-hmm. The difference, the varieties, you talk about Christmas music, movies, anything like that, and just to get the different insights, that's what I absolutely loved. And that's why we started up the website and the podcast, for me to recap everything that's going on.
Yeah, I think for most of us who do Christmas podcasts about one thing or another, that one thing might be our favorite, but there's lots of things about Christmas that we love. I moved recently, so I haven't unpacked them, but I have boxes of Christmas books that I haven't gotten around to taking out, and Christmas movies. And God, I love so much about Christmas, but music's my favorite, and that's my focus. But I love it all. Jerry, how long have you been doing your podcast?
So I started in April of 2020. So same thing, as soon as the lockdown hit, is when I went full force. Now, I originally was going to start the August of 2019. So I guess I've been around for about 2.5 years now, but I had my theme song written in August of 2019. I had pretty much my outline all done, But that's when I started my new job working at the Christmas store. I actually do work at a Christmas store. That's how much I love Christmas. But because of that, I really didn't have much time. That's like my busy season is from September all the way through December. So I kind of waited and I was going to start it that following August, but then lockdown happened and I thought, okay, I'll just go ahead and start it now. So yeah, it's been since April of 2020.
And you, Scott?
Actually, I started in April of 2020 also. Like a lot of people, the COVID hit. And a few months before that, I had a little money left over from Christmas. And there were these Japanese albums that I'd heard about. And I, after years of searching, I realized the only way I'm going to hear them is if I buy the actual vinyl. So I ordered a few albums. I got them. I thought it was really cool. Didn't think I'd be ordering any more. And then I found the auction sites over in Japan, which, you know, that made it a lot easier to find the stuff I really wanted. So I was like, okay, you know what? I'll make one big order. I'll get everything or a lot of the stuff that I want and I'll be done with it. So I ended up, I had, you know, a couple of dozen albums on hand. And I'd been listening to Christmas Past and Can't Wait for Christmas for quite a while. And I started talking with Brian Earle and I was like, you know, I'm thinking about doing this. And he really encouraged me. So I, you know, I got a plan and his best advice was, you know, just go for it. Get that first episode out there. Don't worry about how it sounds, but then make sure you do the next one too. And here I am. What, 53 episodes later, 55, I forget. But yeah, it just, once I got started, I kept going, found that I enjoyed it. I enjoyed getting, you know, new albums to talk about. And yeah, I have plenty to keep me going for quite a while at this point.
You know, it's funny listening to you guys talk about having your plan and talking to people. And now I had done a lot of planning to get the Sounds of Christmas station off the ground 15 years ago, but January 2021, in my day job, I do social media for a bunch of different clients, and I was helping somebody get their podcast off the ground. And I thought, hey, I wonder if anybody would be interested in a podcast about Christmas music. I mean, it's really niche, but let's see what happens. So that was really, that's all the planning that I did. Hey, I wonder if anybody besides me would care about this. And I threw it out there and was pleased to find that. And, you know, that's a little bit like the way that I started the station. I love Christmas music and regular radio stations play the same, I used to say the same 100 songs, but I'm not sure if it's even that many anymore.
I don't even know if it's that many. Yeah.
So, and there's just so much that you never hear that right. I thought maybe somebody else besides me has noticed that. So I'm going to try and do this. And I did it and it got a great response. And it was sort of the same thing with this. I thought, well, I don't know if anybody's going to care about hearing me talk about Christmas music. And I was doing this at the end of January. So it wasn't like I was going to be able to reach out to anybody. Hey, want to come in and talk about the Christmas album that maybe you'll have out in 11 months? No, nobody wants to do that. So I wasn't going to have any guests. I wasn't going to. So I was, well, let's just see what happens. But yeah, no planning. No, didn't talk to anybody about it. Just threw it out there. And if I had heard what you guys had done beforehand to plan it out and to talk to people and Jerry to even have your own theme song, I probably would have gone, wow, I don't have time to do this. I'm not going to do it. And now I've done like 70 episodes or something like that. I'm like, well, I guess I am going to do this.
But, well, the funny thing with the theme song was that the whole idea wasn't even my idea. It was actually Todd Killian from Christmas Clatter who suggested, because I appeared on Tis the Podcast. We talked Rudolph and Frosty's Christmas in July. And I happen to be a friend of the Rankin Bass historian, Rick Goldschmidt. So he was telling me some things. And so I started telling him some things while I was on the show. And afterwards, Todd Killian messaged me and was like, hey, that was fun. You should have your own show. And I thought, okay, cool. And I was driving home one day and just a tune popped in my head. And so I pulled over into the library, the local library, and I just sat and recorded it on my phone, and then took about a week to write everything out, and I played and performed it, and so I had my theme song, and I was like, okay, well, now what's the show going to be about? Yeah, it was just one of those where I didn't quite know exactly what I was getting into.
Has there been an episode or episodes that you have done that really stand out that you would consider among your favorites?
Well, I know, I mean, some of the ones that I've just recorded recently have been amazing. So I did an interview with Katie Lee, who was the voice of Sheila the Thief in Dungeons and Dragons. She was the voice of Ralph the Dog in The Muppet Babies and a few other really cool projects that she's done. And so that was one of my favorites. There's not a whole lot of Christmas in it, but there it is there. Also, I talked with Rachel Murray from the Rebel Pebbles. That one probably was one of my favorites because she was just so cool. The one that with Captain Sensible and his hit, that one was very, very fun. But I think my all-time favorite is probably the first Raddies that I did. I decided to do on a lark. I wanted to do a clip show. And so I thought the best way to do that was to have like a fake award show. And so I created the Totally Rad Christmas Awards, the Raddies. And so the first one was probably my favorite. It was a ton of work. I had no idea what I was getting into, but it came out, I think, pretty decent. And so I that one kind of has a soft spot in my heart.
So with the Raddies, did you give awards to your own episodes?
So kind of, yes, kind of. that's the big joke about it, is that okay. Now, I am not officially nominated except for most sentimental, like the raddest sentimental memory. And that there's only one nominee, and it's my family. And it like I've done it twice, and it's always just us, and we always win. But the big gag is basically is that it's the award show for my episodes, and so it's the guest technically gets the award, the win. But you know, it's for my own show, so it's really dumb, but it's just fun.
No, it's fun.
And I have like a killer idea for the third Raddies, and so I'm very very excited to get into it. So.
Well, I think it's just funny, and that's why I said that. It is. Scott, do you have a favorite episode or episodes, anything that really stands out that you like above the others?
The first one that really, you know, came together for me was, I think it was like my eighth episode. It was Christmas Tenor Mood by Nakamura Hachidai and Hidehiko Matsumoto. It's an album that I had seen it on Discogs forever. I finally decided to go ahead and buy it. Just one of the most beautiful albums you ever hear. And the history behind the two guys was just phenomenal. I really got into the research for that episode. The music just really kept me going. And it's the first one that I really got a strong response to. Especially, it's the first one my parents ever called me up and said, hey, we listened to this and thought it was great. So that one, that's always going to be one of my favorites. And then my first Christmas episode, I covered Jun Fukamachi's Now Sound Christmas. It's one of the most unbelievable albums you ever hear. It took a lot of trying for me to finally get a copy. And it just, it'll blow you away. It's unlike anything you'll hear any place else. So that was fun, just, you know, getting the album, hearing the album, and doing the research for it. And there's a few others that really stand out, but one of the most enjoyable ones I've done was when I had Jerry on. I covered an album, GMO Christmas Songs.
It was fun, yeah.
It's from like 86. It's video game music versions,
like
of
chiptunes, yeah.
Yeah. And I've tried repeatedly to get it on vinyl just because, you know, I thought it'd be fun having this digital album on vinyl. I still just have the CD, but that was a lot of fun to do. And I've got some plans to have, you know, guest episodes in the future. I just haven't gotten to the point where I've got all the music that I want so that I can get those lined up.
Yeah, I know that feeling of not having all the music that you want. Because I go through that all the time. Let me dig down a little deeper with you on one thing, Scott, because I don't know if people get this, who aren't into collecting music, when you talk about how hard it is to find certain things, because most people think, well, you know, you go to Spotify or you go to YouTube and you put in the box what you're looking for and seven things come up and there it is. But it's not like that with the music that you're looking for.
Physical media is still really big in Japan. And there's a variety of reasons for that. Part of it has to do with the idol system where, you know, if you're a fan of a band, the more copies of a CD you buy, the better chance you have of, you know, winning concert tickets, posters and stuff like that. But then a lot of the artists are very reluctant to have their music put on streaming services. Tatsuro Yamashita, who his Christmas Eve is, it's the biggest Japanese Christmas song ever. He gave an interview a couple weeks ago and he said he will never allow his music on Spotify. It's a pretty common attitude. So finding this music, you know, some of the stuff, there's kind of shady download sites that you can find it on, but the bulk of it, you really can't find it anywhere other than buying the physical media. So that's a challenge. And then the fact that a lot of this isn't on Discogs. So you can't just type in the English version of the title or somebody's name and find it. You have to be able to search for it in Japanese, and not speaking Japanese, that presents, you know, additional challenges for me. But, you know, I've been lucky. I've connected with some Japanese Christmas music collectors. I've got some sites that I can rely on where I've got lists of songs and albums. And so a lot of it's, you know, a starting point. But the amount of time that I spend just doing searches on the various sites that I rely on for these albums, it takes up a lot of time.
Oh yeah. I can certainly understand that, because back in the 80s, I was haunting used record stores looking for things that were on my list. And then CDs came along, and not everything that was on a record went to CDs. I will work in different music stores. I remember the excitement when the Rolling Stones music came out on CDs, and the way they did it was everything all at once. It was one Tuesday, all of their albums were now available on CD. Then the Beatles did theirs and parceled it out so that in February, the first four came out. And then a couple months later, the next ones came out. And they did that throughout the year. And then it came to digital, and people were holding back. The Beatles weren't going to do it for a long time. And then they made a deal, and finally it came out. And there have been other holdouts, Bob Seger, I think. I don't know if there are any big names, American artists, big names that have still held out. So it's really interesting to hear that, so that how different it is with the music in Japan, that it's not unusual for artists to hang on to their music and not put it out on Spotify or iTunes or whatever else is out there.
Well, and a lot of the older stuff has never even been re-released on CD. So you'll have a single by someone who ended up being, you know, a key musician that, you know, it came out in like 62, 67 or whatever, and it has never been re-released anywhere. So that can lead to, there's certain albums, certain singles that are very cost prohibitive. There's a few that I know that if they show up, they go for anywhere from, you know, $500 to $800 and just for a single. So some of those I know I'll never get. There's one that I got recently that every copy I've seen sell previously was like, you know, $300 to $500. I got it for like $45.
Wow.
How it didn't get any other bids, I have no idea, but I wasn't going to complain.
That's a great feeling. When somebody's selling something and they don't really know what it is they have, and you can get right in. Yeah.
And I know that feeling because I was a band director for a while, and they made me teach like music appreciation class and stuff like that. And so I turned it into like a film music class. And so I would hunt down like scores from film composers, and some of them were the only way you could get them was on bootlegs. Of course, now they're out, but at the time it's like you had to find it and get lucky and hope that it wasn't, you know, $200 to $300 while you were at it. So scoring something, you know, for cheap that's supposed to be ridiculously expensive is always a feeling of Christmas.
Well, and some of this stuff, I think there's a limited audience for it. So I mean, you've got hardcore collectors both here and in Japan, and I think some of the really good deals I've gotten, I think, have just been a matter of timing where something will hit, something will come up for auction, and I'll be lucky enough that the other collectors who really want it just happen to be the ones that I lost out to the last time. So in fact, I had an album yesterday morning like that.
Nice.
That last copy, I fought this guy. I gave up. It hit like $130 and got it yesterday for $13. So
I remember late 90s, Roger Daltrey of The Who appeared in a version of A Christmas Carol. And it was mostly a traditional version of the story, but there were a couple songs. And there was a CD single of one of the songs, Roger Daltrey and Choir or something like that. And that would show up on eBay. And I would, okay, I'll pay $20. I have no idea what it is, but I'll put in $20. And I would instantly get outbid, and it would go for hundreds of dollars. And then finally, somebody posted it, and they had no idea what it was. They posted a picture of it, but they didn't even put Daltrey's name in it. And I got it for like $5. I was so excited. And then it arrived, and I listened to it, and you can't tell that he's singing.
Oh, no.
Just completely overpowered by Choir. And I'm like, oh, well, okay, $5. That's okay. I have it. But I can't imagine if I had gotten caught in the fever and spent $300 or $500. Oof. Well, I wouldn't have spent that much. But and then get this thing and like, oh, my God. Oh my God, I'm so stupid. Of course, then I would have turned around and sold it on eBay again and hoped to get it back. But
Now, see, I lucked out like that. Somebody, there's a record from the early 60s that it's typically like a $40 or $50 album. And somebody listed it and they just called it a Christmas album. And the description basically said it's a record. And I was like, well, I'll bid my $10 and see what happens. Nobody else bid. So, wow. I was pretty pleased.
Wow. Hey, Sean, I know what you do is so much different than this. It's probably hard for you to pick out any standout episode or episodes that were your favorite. And I don't want you to, you know, to hurt anybody's feelings if you don't. You know, if you don't say, well, I got it, there's 67 different podcasts on there and I have to pick one from each one. I don't want you to have to do that. But are there particular episodes that stand out for you that maybe you would even want to listen to again?
Oh, there's tons of them. And I've got favorite episodes on every single podcast that we host on ChristmasPodcast.com. As a matter of fact, going to you, Ken, your latest one that I didn't mention earlier was How to Make a Christmas Hit. I listened to that one, and that one was so interesting. And the story behind it and how it came about, too, because you said, yeah, you're just going to take clips from it from a different podcast. I'm so glad they gave you permission to do that. Because even you just describing it, you can't emote the emotion and everything that went behind all that. So hearing them and them giving permission, I'm so grateful they did that, because that was one of my favorites of yours too. as well as, like I said earlier, the lawsuits that were going on, because that's so interesting. And Jerry, I can't, because he's got so many that are so fun, because that's when I grew up. So, I mean, come on. Yeah. I mean, how can you narrow it down, really? And Scott, I mean, I can't pick one out either, because everything is so different from what I've heard. I've just listened to all this interesting Japanese music come out. And then you give them the stories behind it, you doing the research you do. That's what I also like about all the podcasts, is when people have the research behind what they're talking about too. And they give all this information. Yeah. Some don't put it out in, like, there's a podcast that says the most under-researched podcast there, but they're giving their opinions too, which is, how do you research given opinions? You're telling what's from the heart. So whether you research like Scott does, and he does a wonderful job researching, and Ken, you too, obviously, but you've also got a bunch of history. So I don't know how much researching you have to do versus just cleaning off the dust balls in the memory back there to say, hey, what was that again? I got that problem too. So, and then Jerry does, also does a great job of researching. I mean, with that Captain Sensible, I mean, like you said, you can't find it, go to the source. That's not the first time he says he's done it. So, I mean, those are some great ones there. I mean, like you said, I told Jerry that Captain Sensible is the most recent one of my favorites of Jerry's. Obviously, the Raddies were great. Yeah, I even got to participate in that and make a fool of myself on it. It's always fun to do that. And yeah, like I said, every podcast that I listen to, I have a favorite. And I'm always excited when new ones come out. And even some of the ones I don't always necessarily listen to all the time, every one of them has got a episode that I love listening to. And I'm so thankful for you guys for what you do, is what it is. And so thankful that you allow me to link back to your podcast and get it out there for other people to enjoy too. So, I mean, that's what we do, is we take the ones that I feel people would really like. And it may not be my cup of tea most of the time. There are a few podcasts on there. I don't necessarily listen to all of them, but just because the title, okay, that doesn't interest me. Doesn't mean it's bad. Doesn't mean nobody else will like it, which is why I'll put it out there. It's because you can my thoughts are always, you can disagree. You can have disagreements about stuff. That doesn't make one person right, one person wrong. It just means they have different opinions. So I want to get, whether I like it or not, I still want to get it out there so other people, because I know there will be other people out there that like it. So whether I listen to them all or not, it's a moot point. I want people to listen and get what they like, because somebody else might be looking for it. So,
you know, I had thrown out that there are 67 podcasts that you keep track of, and I made that number up on the spot. Do you know how many Christmas podcasts are on the christmaspodcast.com website?
I don't have an exact number, but it's roughly half of what you said. It's okay. About like, I think 34, 35, I think I have on there right now.
Okay. And this is, I had joked with everybody before we started that there were no gotcha questions. This is probably the closest. This is probably the closest to that for you, Sean. And it's just because you listen and are aware of so many different kinds of Christmas podcasts. Is there something that you've noticed that's missing?
Books. Really? I mean, specifically talking about books. I mean, obviously, that people talk about A Christmas Carol. I mean, that's the number one Christmas book, but there are other people that put books out there, and there isn't a podcast necessarily focused on the book or the literature part of Christmas outside of Dickens. Cause not even,
A Cozy Christmas.
I mean, Art does a lot,
but yeah, I know what you mean.
It's not just books that he talks about. He has everything else. His soul right. is focused on books, although it is part of it. He has another podcast about books, but it's not Christmas books. It's not focused in on Christmas. And that could be just because there isn't, I think you could run out of subject matter pretty quick with Christmas literature, like books and novels. I mean, you can probably get into little short stories and stuff like that, but yeah, A Cozy Christmas. Cause yeah, he is doing that book challenge thing over the summer that I do remember. And he's been on hiatus right now because I think, I don't know if he's been busy or not feeling well or something. He hasn't really had something out in a little while. So that's probably why he didn't pop top of my head right now. Thanks, Jerry, by the way, for reminding me. <you know. laughs> but yeah, there isn't really like a focus on, okay, here's right. this book. Here's, and the backstory behind the book about the author and where it came from and what some of the ideas he might have had. Art comes up with a lot of great books to read, and he has read some stories and stuff that are great, and it's fun listening to him recite those. But I haven't noticed like anything more like an in-depth look into these books and novels, and that's really what I haven't noticed, because we got tons of movies, movie reviews and stuff like that. And the one that is a movie review that really caught my eye and doesn't get kind of pulled back into the muddle of everything else other than the first ones I've listened to is Behind the Bells. I really like what Robert does with Behind the Bells, where he gets into behind the scenes of what happened on how this was made, some of the turmoils that could have happened, some of the ups and downs behind the making of it. And that really interests me too. So even though he comes out sparingly with his, not as often as I would love him to come out with episodes, when they do, it's always intriguing because I always love hearing the backstories behind a lot of these things. But there's music out there, not as much as could be, but people touch on a lot of music. And then obviously Sounds of Christmas is the biggest one in my mind for music, where you talk about a lot of industry behind the music, behind some things behind what's going on. I mean, we do have Tinsel Tunes and Jingle Jank, which is now on hiatus due to issues beyond their control, unfortunately. But so there's more music than that, and movies, like I say, and but then what really intrigues me, what I like, and I'd like to hear some other. I've got three international ones on the website: Total Christmas Podcast, Merry Britsmas, and Christmas Potting. Total Christmas and Merry Britsmas are from England, and then Christmas Potting is from Australia. I love those. I would love if I could find more podcasts from other parts of the world describing Christmas in their area. Christmas Potting is great because everybody here is in the Northern Hemisphere, so it's winter when it's up here. For them, it's in the middle of summer when it's Christmas. So it's fun to get their thoughts and insights on Christmas. I'd like to have more, like maybe over in Africa or in India or China talking. I mean, if we get China, and the rough part about that is trying to get them where we could understand, a language we could understand, versus them talking in their native language. That's the rough part. I understand that, but it would still be neat to kind of hear that, because I've always, since I was really little, been interested in what they call a Christmas around the world. There was a The Magic of Christmas was this show that the local radio station where I grew up had on. It was a recorded podcast, and I was actually able, lucky enough, to purchase a show from like the 2000s from Chris Eric Stevens. So I purchased that, and it's got little clips of what Christmas is like around the world, which always intrigued me. I'd like to get more in depth with those and hear some of those. So that's pretty much the books and some more of in-depth around the world Christmas podcasts.
If somebody's listening to this and they have started a Christmas podcast, or they're thinking about starting one and they'd like to get connected, what do they need to do?
They can go to christmaspodcasts.com, and on the front site there, you'll see where the latest episodes are in the page. And then near the bottom, there's a site directory, and it says submit a podcast. So you click on that and you can submit a podcast, that if you started a podcast or if you know of something. And then we can reach out and try to get the podcast on the site, and I'll listen to it and see. And hopefully we can get some new stuff on there.
Do you need to be the host or involved with that podcast? Or?
Generally, yeah, a lot of the questions will say that. Otherwise, you can just hit the contact us and just, if you know of a podcast, and let me know about it, and then I can reach out and try to find out who hosts that, and then I'll try to get a hold of them and try to get it on. So,
okay. Scott, what other than going to christmaspodcast.com, how can people find you?
Right now, I'm hosted on Libsyn, so my URL, I mean, you should be able to find me, just Google me. I'm on most of the major platforms. My actual site is hollyjollyxmasu.libsyn.com/website, but you can find me on Amazon, iTunes, most every place else.
And Jerry?
Yeah, same thing. I'm everywhere. literally and figuratively.
Everywhere.
Someone was asking me about how many podcasts I've been a guest on, and it's actually 29 now.
No, I thought it would be more than I host.
Well, the 30th has been recorded. It just hasn't dropped yet. But you can find me anywhere you get podcasts. I'm there. But I have a website, totallyradchristmas.com. I also, of course, am on Facebook and Instagram at Totally Rad Christmas, Twitter at Rad Christmas, and I have a Facebook group, Totally Rad Christmas Mall and Arcade, where folks can interact with me and post anything they want, 80s or Christmas.
Cool. Very nice. Guys, thank you so much for sharing some Christmas spirit with us today.
Thank you, Ken, for all you
thanks
do.
For
thank
us,
you,
yeah.
Scott.
Yeah, Jerry. Thanks for having us on.
I'll put links to all three of those podcasts in the show notes, along with a link to the original podcast, just in case anybody is curious. Thanks so much for listening and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. I already told you how to listen to the station, and you're already listening to this podcast, so my work here is just about done. All of our episodes are available on the Sounds of Christmas website. Just click the podcast tab. We also have a Linktree page, so you can find us on your favorite streaming site, and you can subscribe and never miss another episode. And I'll put the link for that down in the show notes as well. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, or the Sounds of Christmas station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks again. And may you always believe in Santa Claus.